Hi, this is Sean Benson from Harvest Church in Warrensburg, Missouri. I want to thank you for joining us for this week's podcast. For more resources, log on to harvestwarrensburg.com.
Hey, so last week we talked about where we introduced pastors to you. They're out of the fivefold ministry, they're the best looking of all of the... I don't understand why you people are laughing right now. Anyways, so they're the best looking of all of the fivefold ministry, especially in Warrensburg. And now we learned that it's God's design, that God actually calls pastors, and that He is the one who sets them in, who equips them, who gifts them for a very specific purpose, and that is to shepherd the local church, to shepherd His sheep in any given local fellowship, or even beyond that. It goes beyond that, small groups and house groups, and that there's a sense in which, though, folks are called at various levels to shepherd and to guard over the flock that God has entrusted to them. It's funny how controversies weave themselves into the body, and I don't know why there's such controversy when the Bible is so clear about it. It's like God is the one. He's the one speaking, and He says, hey, I've given this gift to the body of Christ. Here are these leaders that I'm giving you to help keep you in check, to grow you, to nurture you, to equip you to do this thing called Christianity a lot better. Pastors are designed by God. We read that out of Ephesians chapter 4. And as I already alluded to, Ephesians chapter 4 actually gives fivefold ministry expression, so not just the pastor. I think it makes sense for us, given that being the context, to at least briefly touch on some of the other offices that are represented there. Now, I think we have a grid for pastor. We touched on it last week a little bit, but generally speaking, like, you know, you stare at my beautiful face every week. You know, you've served under our ministry. You have some grid for what that looks like. Whether we've not done it well or not is irrelevant. You still have a grid for that. You know, there's we'll get it right eventually. The prophet, I'll speak and you'll pray and we'll get this thing worked out. Atmosphere. How many of you know you actually change atmospheres? Atmospheres don't bother you, right? So that's a declaration that we need to lay hold of. You know, what we find out, well, let's just read it. Ephesians chapter 4, let's start with verse 12. This is what we know. The apostle, the prophet, the pastor, evangelist, and the teacher are set in place by God for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, you may remember that in our God series, I addressed the doctrine of cessationism. And in cessationism, they try to make the claim that the prophet and the apostle were laid into the foundation of the church and thus rendered obsolete and ineffective for all of history after that. So at the founding of the first Christian church, we lost the apostle and the prophet because they were laid into the foundation. Now, the Bible says so much about this. This is a false doctrine. I would call it a doctrine of demons. It's literally inspired by the devil to actually disrupt God's purposes. Remember, this is God rolling this out. I have given a gift to the church of these offices. They're for your good. But just in case we somehow miss it, let's look at verse 13. These offices, these functions in the body of Christ are put in place until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure and the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now, do we look like we're unified in the body of Christ? Seems like we've got some tension on that subject. So we're not unified, so we haven't accomplished that yet. Do we have the full and complete knowledge of the Son of God, Jesus? And does everybody share that knowledge? I'm going to go with a big no on that one. Do we have the measure and stature of the fullness of maturity that we find in Jesus expressed fully across all Christian lives? Obviously, we don't. And the natural interpretation of that is that these offices will be in place until Jesus comes back. And again, we covered that adequately in the God series. These offices are for your good. They're designed by God. And they're put in place for your benefit until Jesus returns. We have some grid for pastor. We understand teacher. We get evangelists. We don't like them. We don't like evangelists. They make us uncomfortable. You know, force us out of our box. We actually have to go share Jesus with people. So we get it. We understand. We have a grid for it. We don't like them. We don't want to associate with them for fear they'll rub off on us. You know, and I would even go so far as to say, even the prophet, the office listed there, we have some grid for that. We have some understanding. It's continuing to come into the body of Christ and what they do and the sense in which they have a plumb line that they carry that brings us back into alignment with the Word. They connect us with God. They give us the ability or teach us on hearing the voice of God and partnering with Him in that way. So we even have some grid for that. What I would suggest we have a deficit on, though, is the office of apostle. I still don't think that we have an adequate grid for this apostle. It's interesting, in one of the gift lists, it's rolled out as first apostles. Like, here are the gifts, and I'm giving these as a gift for the church, but here's this one thing, and first apostles, and then. So there's this place for this being supreme in this context called church, but largely due to the cessationist doctrine, we haven't given it place at all, and we've come to a place where now we don't even understand. We've so not given it place that we don't have a grid for it. We don't even know where they fit in. And unfortunately, this cessationist doctrine has largely shaped the church over the last couple hundred years on this topic. And the truth is, if we don't actually make a space, if we don't believe that apostles exist or that the apostolic function exists or that it applies in any way to the local church context, then we won't create a space for it. And if we don't create a space for the apostolic in the local church, what we end up is with pastorally driven hospitals for saints, as opposed to what God intended, which is what He called the ecclesia, the called out ones, the called out ones of God who were actually supposed to advance and take ground in the kingdom by identifying things on the earth that should not be and being the solution from heaven to bring heaven to earth so that God's will could unfold. You know, that is actually what God has intended the local church to be. And it's the apostolic that actually brings it into fruition, into a reality, into this local church context. Consider with me just for a second. We talked last week about how the word pastor is actually the word shepherd. It's the word shepherd. We have a great grid for that. We understand what it means to be a shepherd of sheep, right? Nope. Yeah. We got it. We're good. So a shepherd, though, if you consider what the role of a shepherd is, it's not to expand the sheepfold and to take another hill for the kingdom. That's not really what the shepherd does, right? But the apostle, in contrast, though, well, actually, let me add what they do do, and they do that a lot. What a pastor is slotted with doing is caring for the sheep, right? They care for them. They tend to them. They make sure that they stay together in a way that keeps them protected from wolves. They nurture them. They make sure that they have good food. And I would even add, they go so far as to equip the saints, to equip the sheep to care well for one another. This is what happens pastorally. But in contrast, we have the apostolic. And again, the apostolic sense is the sense in which they're not called to keep and to shepherd, but they really are called to advance. They really are called to get outside of the four walls of this structure and to go after community, to go after the expansion of God's kingdom in a tangible way. I have always said, I've said for so many years, that if a church was removed, if Harvest was removed up out of this place and completely done away with, someone other than you ought to be really impacted by the fact that we are no longer here. If that's not happening, we are not being primarily led apostolically, we're being led pastorally. What do we get when we're primarily led pastorally? Oftentimes we struggle to grow. We get inward in our focus. It becomes a man-centered reality. It becomes all about us and our comforts. It becomes about making people happy. Let's make sure that those guys on that stage don't miss another note, because we don't want people to leave because, you know. And it's all about, let's make sure our coffee is at the optimal temperature and the right taste and that we've got all the goodies, and let's make sure that we've got all this stuff in place so that we can guard these people who come through the door and make them really, really happy and want to stay. But that's not the primary purpose of the church. Now, don't mistake me. We started out talking about the pastoral. God designed the pastoral. God designed the pastoral function. He designed the pastor. He set the pastors in place. There is a function. There's a deep need. And of course, they create a place of connectivity, of belonging. They create a place of nurturing, as we've already discussed, a place for you to niche into family. The problem, though, is when we're primarily aligned pastorally, we're not really encouraged to get outside of the four walls. The problem when we're only primarily aligned pastorally is it really just becomes about healing those who come through the door. But, you know, in this church, our vision is transform people, transforming communities. Like, God, by design, has given us an apostolic vision, and he's inviting us in a bigger way in 21 to step into that reality. Because you were never meant to walk through those doors here at Harvest to encounter God. Oh, God, I'm getting healed. This is wonderful. This is amazing. Everybody needs this. But I'm going to keep it right here. This is just so good. It was always designed to, as you encountered God, to take it to your sphere of influence, to take him to your sphere of influence, and to bring transformation everywhere you go, to bring the gospel everywhere you go. It was by design that God established an apostolic vision over this house. He did not want us to get inverted. And I want to propose to you that perhaps this is the reason why it says that the church was founded upon the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. If I were to suggest to you right now that something was built into the foundations of the ministry, probably that's going to speak DNA to you, right? If I said, oh yeah, this is built into the foundations of Harvest, like, what does that mean? It's DNA that we're talking about. It's a sense in which our DNA dictates to us who we are and what we're going to do about it. Like who we are and where we're going. It's like this is in the foundations of what we're doing here. And I believe that it's this sense that it says that the apostles and the prophets were built into the foundations of the church. And I'll submit this even a little bit further. There's a reason why it doesn't say that the church was built upon the foundation of the pastor. Have you thought about that? It wasn't so that he would cut off apostle and prophet and render them obsolete. Obviously, we know that's false doctrine. That doesn't work that way. But I do believe it was so we didn't get introverted, because God isn't primarily, our responsibility isn't primarily to go after healing in and of itself. When we create that as our primary reality, how many of you know there's always something new to go after? And it creates a sense in which we always disqualify ourselves. Like, well, oh, I've got this new thing that popped up and I need another sozo and then another one, and I'm going to do that basically for the rest of my life because I'm never actually good enough to ever actually leave the four walls and make a difference. I'm not really equipped. I didn't go to seminary. I'm not sharp enough in my scripture. I've got all these problems. So I'm just going to come back here and camp in this place and get inverted until I get to a place where you finally built me up to where I can have an impact. Oh, look, I died. That's not how it was designed to be. I mean, Jesus got a hold of like cussing sailors, you know, like fishermen. These were roughnecks. They weren't exactly the picture of perfection here. He grabs a hold of them and he begins to release them into the earth to have an impact way before we would have ever said that they were ready. And in the process of being led apostolically, by the way, in the process, Jesus actually raises them to a height of maturity that they never could have gotten had they just stayed in the four walls of the church and camped there until they were whole enough to do something. Are you getting this? This is what the apostolic brings to us. This is why it's absolutely essential that every church is founded on the apostles and the prophets and not founded on the pastoral alone. Is there a place for the pastoral? Yes, Jesus designed it. Jesus set them in. We desperately need what they bring. But when that's all we've got, we're limiting this ecclesia. We're limiting this thing called church. And we're getting inverted. We're not accomplishing the things that God has called us to accomplish. Is this making sense? Paul begins to demonstrate some of these things or highlight some of these things in his dialogue with the Corinthian church about his role as it relates in contrast to the role of Apollos 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 8. We'll start there just for a second. He says, "Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers." We, this is him and Apollos, "we are God's fellow workers, but you are God's field. You are God's building." Now, I want to make special note here that he's speaking directly to the Corinthian church. Right? Note that the Apostle Paul is not talking necessarily to the church at large, but actually quite specifically in context, is speaking to the Corinthian church. And to the Corinthian church, he's asserting that I've built your foundation. I've been integral in getting this thing off the ground and running. The reason I make that note is to say that even this text continues to fight against this idea that the apostolic was laid into the corporate church foundation and rendered obsolete from the first church plant on. Like, that's impossible as we see it unfolding right here in the scripture. The Apostle Paul is building the Corinthian church. He's instrumental in partnership with God in the building of that church. Well, what exactly is he building? I think it's 1 Peter chapter 2. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 calls us, you and I, living stones. That's an odd thing to call a human being, living stones. But it goes on to say that we are actually being built up together into the house of God. So when the Apostle Paul asserts here that as an apostle that he was building the church, what he was talking about was people. The Apostle Paul was lashing together people. Now, just imagine with me for a second that each of you are a great, big, huge piece of limestone. For the ladies, you're like a little teeny, slender piece of limestone. For the rest of us, you know, we're like massive blocks, just so you know. I didn't want to mix that up. Just imagine that you're a big piece of limestone, and it's being laid down, one on top of the other, stacking uniquely into position and creating a building. Living stones is what the Bible calls you. Now, I want you just to imagine for a moment that one of those stones is out of place or missing. One of those stones is off church hopping. One of those stones never did find their position, and they've become Christmas and Easter goers instead of real church assemblers, if you want to call it that, right? When a living stone picks up and leaves, it creates a window or a door where God never designed a window or door to be. And when enough of those stones leave and aren't present in this thing, this house that God is building, then the structure itself, the church itself, becomes vulnerable to the winds and to the weather, the elements of time. Vulnerable to the attack of the enemy because it has gaps and holes everywhere. The only way that we can build the house of God is to assemble together. And not just to assemble together, but to partner strategically to find our unique place and to join together uniquely with the other stones that are around us, to lean on, like allow ourselves to lean on the stones that are around us and to be fitted and niched together. You cannot be the church of God, nor a building of God or a house of God, if you're a single stone out in the middle of the driveway. You have to be knitted together with other stones that are perfectly positioned to create the design that God is releasing. This is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. He, as an apostle, has been given grace by God to build according to what God is speaking. And what he's building with are people. The actual people in the Corinthian church. We continue, verse 10. "According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid the foundation, and another was building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now, he says, according to the grace that was given to me. You'll notice a theme when it talks about any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, any of the office gifts, any of the gifts that were released to the body of Christ. It always talks about in proportion to the grace of God that was released to you. What was grace? Grace is something released by God that empowers me to do what I could not do naturally on my own. That's grace. It's not a license to sin. The Bible is quite clear. It's actually an empowerment to do just the opposite. And in this case, the Apostle Paul is saying, by the grace of God, God has released a measure of grace to me, which is operating in the apostolic realm. I am an apostle because I have a measure of grace poured into my life by God. I've been set in by him. And then he relates himself to a master builder. To a master builder. So the apostolic function then is likened unto a builder. Now imagine a builder just for a second. If you think about, if I was going to build this church or build your house, you're not a very good builder if you haven't counted the costs and you just run in willy-nilly with no plan, right? I don't know anybody who does that and actually gets a solid product at the end. Usually, you go off of a blueprint, do you not? So you have a blueprint. Now, the apostle's job or the function of the apostolic is to get the download of the heavenly blueprints for what each local congregation is supposed to do, and then they help you keep on track with that. Part of the way they help you keep track is by what it says here. They're helping us build upon the foundation that is Jesus Christ. Right? One of the functions of the apostolic and the prophetic is to continue to center us on this reality. It really is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He purchased you with a price. There was a prominent minister post out something on Instagram a couple of days ago, and I captured it and took their name off and then spoke against it. So, there you go. Now you know. But it was this. The meme said this. It said, your salvation is free, but it costs God everything. Now that sounds great, and that's so true, because we don't get into the kingdom via works, right? But if your salvation costs you nothing, you're not doing it right. See, because Jesus Christ purchased you with his own blood, and now you're not your own, that means from the moment that you said yes to him, your life was over. Hello? Man, you got to let that one sink in for a minute. Your life was over. Pick up your cross and follow me. Let the dead bury their own dead. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. That means everything that you are and everything that you do is now about Jesus Christ, not about you. This is what the apostolic and the prophetic do. They realign us with the heart of God. They realign us to go say to this reality. It's the foundation of Jesus Christ. This is what every church is built upon. This is what every life is built upon. Shake off all of the other distractions and all of the stuff that your own kingdom that you've been tempted to create and try to build. Shake it all off because you are just a slave here to serve the master. Your life is not your own. It's all about Jesus. This is part of their function. The apostolic gets the heavenly blueprint to build according to the strategy of God. Now, the Bible is super clear that not everybody is an arm. Not everybody is an elbow. Not everybody is as good looking, you know. Not everybody is a leg. Not everybody is a finger, right? It's talking about us individually. We understand this, but it's also talking about us in the sense of the body of Christ wide. And so I would submit to you that every single individual church has a unique and individual calling to fulfill, and it's the apostolic that helps us to get on track with that. It's the apostolic that helps us to hear, oh yes, God, this is what this congregation was planted in your mind before we ever were. This is what you've designed. We are an elbow and we're going to go after it. Years ago, I was sitting in the prayer room and I was agonizing over three or four things that the church is expected to do in a community and beyond. I thought, Lord, I don't feel any grace on this at all. I don't know. I'll do it if that's what the church is supposed to do. And at some point, the Lord was like, why? Why are you thinking that way? And I'm like, you mean there's another way to think? Like, you mean I don't have to do all that stuff? And he very specifically says to me, he was like, you know, Shiloh Missionary Baptist down the road, they're doing this one piece extremely well. Why do you think that you have to reinvent the wheel and do it too? Why don't you just partner with them and serve them and sow resources into their situation because they're already doing it? Why do you think you have to reinvent the wheel? I said, you mean I don't? No, I've called you to this. run after it really hard and support and send people and send money and resources and sow your time into that other church who's doing this other piece that I've called them to do really well. There's no reason for you to duplicate it. Just bless it and support it, and now you do what you're called to do. And I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. But how many of you, it's the apostolic that brings us into alignment with God's divine blueprint. And God's divine blueprint is always part and parcel with leaving the four walls. This is a place where you come and you're loved, you belong, and you're accepted. But how many of you know you're also supposed to be equipped, trained, and sent? And if that function isn't happening, then the apostolic isn't present. And we become inverted, and it becomes all about us. And we are not following the blueprint that God has designed for us and that He's released from heavenly places. Are you seeing this? And the apostle, part of their function, again, is to work with living stones, that's you and me, and to partner with you in such a way as they've got a certain grace on their life that allows them to go, Ron, you are actually really gifted at this. Like, I see this on your life, I see this grace on your life, and I've got a great spot for you. I'm going to put the stone of your life right here, and these other stones, they're going to partner with you and feed off of what you bring, and you're going to be fulfilled, and you're going to be able to be a pillar to hold up a part of what God is doing and to advance the kingdom. You understand? Part of the apostolic is working with living stones, and they have a grace to be able to plug you in the exact manner in which God has designed you. When we are primarily pastoral, we lose sight of our mission. Now, we all know the Great Commission, right? It starts with go. It starts with go. Let me just give you my own rendition. Leave the four walls, whether you feel prepared or not, because Holy Spirit's on the inside of you, and He shows up when people believe. And while you may feel adequate and may well be in some certain areas, Holy Spirit is never inadequate. And He's going to blow your mind with what He accomplishes as you step outside of the boat and begin to knock on doors and begin to get bold to talk to people and to kiss babies. And I had some bad political joke there. Whoo! Yes, Lord, thank you for your filter. Yes, all right. The things that pop in this head, they're redeemed. Yes, got the mind of Christ. Anyway. It's my kids. They taint me with all this stuff. Oh, my goodness. Talk about being derailed. Good. Get outside of the four walls and go. You're more equipped than what you realize. We have a mission. Go and make disciples. Go preach the gospel to all of creation. Everything. Go lay your hands in the dirt of your city and declare over it the purposes of God. Go lay your hands in the soil of the courthouse and declare that they will be a voice of righteousness in our city, in our county. That's preaching the gospel to all of creation, you know. But you actually have to go. Go band together with other brothers and sisters because you're better together and you spur one another on to good works. But go. Get outside the four walls. You have more than you think to give to the people that are around you. Don't sit on your hands. Don't sit here in this place, in this hospital, perpetually getting fixed. Because a lot of your fixing is actually attached to your going. We're creating structure around this idea at Harvest right now as we speak. It's not that we haven't known this. Our vision is apostolically driven. Transform people, transforming communities. The problem is we've lacked on the transforming communities part. We've gotten a little inverted. I look back sometimes and I think, how in the world did missionaries take a church and grow them inverted? Somehow. I can do all things the wrong way, you know, sometimes. That was never a part of our vision, never a part of our mission. And now we're creating structure around this apostolic reality, this recentering on Jesus is worthy of it all. That it's not about me and my comforts. This recentering on this reality that I don't know if my neighbor is actually going to be even living tomorrow, so maybe I ought to go share Jesus today. Centered on this reality that I've got such a limited amount of time to impact people for eternity, and that I actually have a responsibility to steward what God has entrusted to me. From the context of being knit together in family, from the context of belonging, I am called by God to go. That His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And by God's help, we're going to steer back into this reality. I hope that you will all, with 100% unanimous agreement, will join with us as we officially roll this kind of stuff out. Tonight is our first meeting with our whole team, so pray for us as we unfold all of the little details. They missed their Chiefs game. That's their level of sacrifice for you. They're missing their Chiefs game. Jesus, we love you. We center our hearts and our lives, our minds. The beat of our heart would be the beat of your heart, that our eyes would see what you see, our ears hear. We thank you for the open heaven over our lives. And Father, we receive the commission that you gave long ago to leave the house and go. You didn't say we had to have it all put together and had everything all with a little pretty bows. You just said go. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit and expand the kingdom. Well, we accept that call, Jesus. We're asking, give us eyes to see every hurting person around us, every person whose seeds have already been sown and whose the soil of their heart has already been cultivated. Send us to people.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast.
You said to pray.
If you would like to contact us or would like more information about our church or additional podcasts or resources, please visit us online at harvestwarrensburg.com. We hope to see you soon.